Welcome back to Karen About Your Health on HealthBeatRadio.com. I'm here with Rabbi Ed, and we've been talking about prostate cancer. He's a prostate cancer survivor and an author, and we went to break. You were talking about taking testosterone. I can't pronounce it.
You got it.
Perfect.
And I wanted to explain, you know, since I'm also a prostate cancer healthcare educator, that a lot of people don't even ask their doctor about it, unless they will hear your show, for example, now, and might be talking about it. They may think, okay, if testosterone, which is a male hormone coming from the testes, can actually feed a cancer, prostate cancer, then why would they even ask about inducing supplemental or synthetic testosterone? And the answer is because after you no longer have a prostate or it's been treated, you're fine. In fact, you can actually improve. I mentioned earlier that accompanying ED very often with men who have prostate cancer treatment is a lowered libido. And that's because one's testosterone has dropped down very often. It has to be checked out at least. It's not a simple blood test like the PSA. You simply go to the lab and get the blood test. Testosterone has many, many effects. A, it raises the libido. B, it enhances well-being. You know how they say, what's that film, Grouchy Old Men or Grumpy Old Men, whatever that was? I think that was a case of lower testosterone. Walter Matthau, was it? This helps in your sense of well-being, can ease depression, and maybe as important, it can allow you to remain physically toned. I think the women will appreciate this. Unfortunately, it is true that half of men as they age, regardless of prostate cancer or not, get flabby, even in the chest area. And if you have added testosterone, you can retain your muscles, your musculature, and your strength much better, providing you exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen. So that's the wonder of testosterone and the fact that it's not as dangerous as some people assume.
That's great. A lot of good advice. Now, I really appreciate how you're able to talk about just so many personal things you've been through that I think a lot of other people wouldn't be able to really talk about. And you mentioned that in your book, you have other men that really share their stories. You know, how are you able to do this?
I mean, get men to share? Is that
mm-hmm.
what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a forthright person, and I find that if I tell people I've gone through this sort of thing, and I would like to know if you wouldn't mind commenting on how you got through it, I assure them, of course, that they'll remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And all these men are not mentioned. I give them anonymous names. By the way, 8 of them out of the 20 were clergymen, 4 rabbis and 4 clergy. I think one was a priest and 3 ministers, something like that. And the anonymity helps men feel free. And then, of course, if you ask the right questions, even if they're personal, they know you're asking to help others. You're not just asking out of idle curiosity. That's really important.
So great. And then what can family and friends do to help?
Well, the most important thing wives can do, and this comes back to the coping question you asked earlier, is to acknowledge a man's feelings if he feels if he shows that he's self-deprecating himself, where he's dissing himself for not being as much a man as he once was, to assure him 2 things. One, not simply say, it's okay, honey, I'd rather you be alive, which so many women say, than us have sex. I don't really think that is what to say, although many women will say it for very good reasons. They mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is you can, as a woman, tell a man, first and foremost, I understand where you're coming from. It's so important to empathize, just like women need that. Men do, too, and they may not admit it, but, you know, I've been around the block once or twice. And that's what's needed. Men have feelings, even if they're more deeply buried than women's, in so many cases, not all. And if you simply acknowledge a sense of loss as a woman to a man who's close to you, who's your partner in life, or a brother, or a son, because, you know, women are living longer, and it could be a son who has prostate cancer, that's first and foremost what's important. People need to be acknowledged for their losses. Just like, and then in my book do tell me that they grieve for what they can no longer do. The second thing to tell women, and I'm talking now about partners, intimate partners, is that intimacy can continue, and you need to communicate that to your husband or partner, whoever it is, in a way that will assure him that he's still wanted, not just emotionally, which is important, or spiritually, but physically, that he's a wanted man, I put it, right? And if a woman can convince her husband that she says it, and in most cases it's meant sincerely, I think a man will be much more responsive and cope better with what he's feeling.
Really good advice. Gosh, do you have any other last comments or something you'd really like to get across to men that might have prostate cancer and are listening?
I would. Let me tell you a few hot tips, I would call them, to conquer ED and a low libido. I think that comes right back to the core of what you've just asked me. To cope more effectively, you need guidance from your urologist or a healthcare educator, again, be it me or anybody else. Those doctors need to address, if you're the man with the prostate cancer, the sexual concerns that you have. Too many doctors are uncomfortable dealing with sexuality. Hey, I can tell you, my wife was seeing a male urologist, as many women do, and she felt uncomfortable asking the important questions, so she recently shifted to a female urologist to ask precisely those questions, because she has certain disabilities. And it's important to communicate with your doctor. Don't shy from that, unless you feel your doctor doesn't know from that, and then you ask him, as I do with my first doctor, which was helpful, for a referral to some outside professional. In my case, I actually went to a sex therapist, and no man should rule it out, although most people, most couples will not see a sex therapist. A, it's too costly, and B, it's, quote, embarrassing. Uh-huh. And it was a big deal for even myself with advanced education to go to an outside person and kind of reveal with my wife what we were going through. But there were three limited sessions, and people look on my site for a bit about that or look at the book. Ask your doctor, as I said, about reversing ED or making it easier to bear through testosterone supplements. Communicate openly, as I really keep saying. There's tantric sex exercises, which I think are terrific. And most importantly, I would say a man and woman have to decide to make love rather than to have sex. Because physical intimacy of any sort, involving what I call whole body intimacy, is so important.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your candor, and I think you've probably helped a lot of people today.
Well, I'm happy to be with you, and thanks for our discussion.
And I just want to remind everybody, you can get Rabbi Ed's book at conquerprostatecancer.com. That's conquerprostatecancer.com. And you can find out more and get support at rabbied.com. You've been listening to Karen About Your Health on healthbeatradio.com. Bye-bye.